Alrighty, Save the Semantics, episode 251. It is March 18th, 2023. My name is Myra. This is the podcast where I ramble on for a bit about some shit. Recording this on a Monday. Pretty quick turnaround from my last recording, but it is one of those instances where I found the time to record, and when I have the time to record, I like to take advantage of that. Basically what happens is I'm either too tired or I'm just not motivated enough to work out or, you know, go on a run, and so I'll do this instead. this is sort of my vocal workout, if you want to call it that. No, I just wanted to put something out there for this week. Starting early, I have some things that I want to catch up on. Mostly basketball related, but I want to talk about some other things as well that I have seen, because I think that might provide some, I don't know, something interesting to discuss. This week is looking decent in terms of just kind of my, just what I have in anticipation, just with work and stuff like that, so, it should be a good week as long as I'm not fucking up my sleep and, you know, messing around with other shit. I think I should be in on a due course, and I would be doing well for myself, but I just have to be disciplined and all that. I do got to get up a little early tomorrow, which is fine. It's not that big of a deal. Every once in a while, it's really not too bad. But yeah, I just need to go to bed at a decent time. Actually, try to fall asleep at a decent time. I struggle so much, and I talk so much about sleep. I know. I talk so much about sleep, and my sleep is crappy, and all that stuff. I struggle. This is the one thing this is another thing that I have struggled with. I've actually been able to sleep somewhat well, decently, as of recent. But the one thing I struggle with is going to sleep earlier than anticipated. That always messes me up, because like I can never, even when I really try to, say I try to go to bed tonight, if I try to go to bed at 9 or 9:30, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. I can't. That's way too early for me. Because I usually go to bed at like 11 or 12. That's the usual time. But like a 2-hour shift, that's kind of brutal. You know what I mean? So I feel like in there is maybe a happy medium, but I've struggled to find it. And what I've sort of resorted to is just not sleeping as much. But I still feel okay. Like maybe I am a little tired, but I'm tired anyway. So it's just kind of maybe giving up a little bit of sleep so I can actually kind of fall into some kind of a cycle that makes sense for me and my body, you know. But going to bed early, it never works out. It just never works out for some reason. Probably because it's such a huge shift for my just for my body. I don't know, it's kind of frustrating. I mean, it's just how it is. You just have to adapt in the best way that you can. We're creeping along, man. It's kind of wild to think. Speaking of like kind of getting into the sports side of things, like it's kind of wild to think that March Madness is sort of on us. I've never been a huge college basketball fan. It's just not been my cup of tea. But I can acknowledge that, you know, seeing, you know, kind of the one-off nature of the NCAA tournaments are exciting. It's pretty fun. There is more possibility for there to be this like potential upset, you know, like it is, you know, it is the quintessential idea of like win or go home, right? It is not like you just have one option, right? I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. And so that kind of provides some excitement in that regard. And then also, of course, like I've mentioned previously, we're creeping up. we're getting closer and closer, man, to playoff basketball, which is exciting. honestly, I'm just like, it's like right there. It's like a month left, but I feel like this next month is gonna be really, it's gonna be a very slow, part of the regular season, because we're all just kind of waiting. I think the last couple of weeks is are when things are going to be really start to matter in terms of playoff seeding and all that. But I'd say for the most part, things are pretty. It seems like, outside of, what I've discussed before in terms of the West standings, at least like the bottom half of the Western playoff standings, like I think everywhere else it seems to be pretty kind of shaping up to be. I mean, I guess the East is sort of in a similar situation, but yeah, I mean, it's it's getting there, but it the pretty much 1 through 10, like it's already kind of like there's no it is unlikely that any of the 10 teams that are in each conference are going to drop out of the play-in, so that's kind of set in stone. What matters more is just playoff seeding in general. So that'll be kind of interesting. I mean, this is probably the most more interesting thing, coming out of the, regular season. Speaking of play-in, the Warriors and Lakers played on Saturday, right? Was this Saturday or Sunday? I think it was Saturday. And I mean the storyline that really came out of that game was just the awful, I mean just the terrible, I don't like I mean it's been discussed to death probably at this point, but just the awful nature of the last minute and a half of the game where the shot clock didn't work and there were just multiple reviews for what? For what? The game could have ended half an hour before, and then they just kept delaying it because they couldn't figure out how the freaking shot clock works. Like, why can't you just? Is there no alternative? And they tested it like six different times, having LeBron like inbound the ball, or I forgot who, but I mean, maybe it was like, I think it was maybe D'Angelo Russell that was inbounding to LeBron James. It was just like, it was ridiculous. It was so frustrating. It's just so bad. Like, why does it need to be so bad? Because it doesn't have to be this bad. It really doesn't have to be this bad, this poor of a product, you know what I mean? And I don't know what exactly it is. Like, I understand the need to review, maybe get the correct call, and I understand, like, look, you don't want to make mistakes, but doing all of that was a mistake. Doing all of that nonsense was a complete mishap, and I don't understand why it was so complicated. Like, what are the rules? You know what I mean? Like, what are the rules to where we make this not happen? You know what I mean? And I'm sure Adam Silver was watching this and probably, I mean, this was a you got LeBron and Curry and then primetime television and shit. Like, this is not the product you want to put out there, right? So I'm sure there's been some, I'm assuming there's probably some level of discussion that's been done. You know what I mean? Because that was really bad. That was so piss poor. I was just kind of I mean, the game was, I mean, it wasn't quite over yet. You know what I mean? It was at a certain point, it was a 4-point game until they reviewed the LeBron three and they concluded that his foot was on the line. I was like, all right, whatever. And then they move on. It's a 7-point game, minute and a half remaining. Warriors are up seven. Like, it's leaning in their favor, but there's still a little chance that the LA could have like scrounged up some kind of a run, so there was still some possibility. And then it's just like just completely bulldozed any just, any momentum whatsoever. It was just completely thrown aside. It was awful, man. Awful for the game. I mean, could you imagine some shit like this happening during like you have like a kid who's in like a rec league, and it's like, oh, it's getting really exciting for the kids. It's a close game. The other team is like catching up, and then the refs are just like, wait, 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 wait. We need to hold on. Let's look at the rule book and see what this is. What are you talking about? I mean, it was just absurd. It was so bad. It was so bad. Oh my God, I hope that shit doesn't happen in the playoffs, dude. Like, honestly, like, if I've talked about, the NBA product in the past, kind of, there's this sense that it might be sort of dwindling in a certain aspect because it's just, there's a lot of things that aren't really as, I don't know. I mean, there's just, I mean, how pervasive the refereeing is really one of the biggest issues, right? And the fact that so much of the game falls on the officials. I mean, this just might be due to what they're being told to officiate and everything like that. Like, there's too much that falls on their judgment for like, the end of a game. And then there's like the last minute report where it's like, oh, actually, the other team maybe probably should have won. That was a mistake on that part. Whoops. But we can't overturn the results because the game is over. And it's not like they want to, what, they're going to replay the game? No. When has that been done? You know what I mean? So it's just when, when actual, like, definitive and tangible results come down to somewhat just a jackass call. It is frustrating, and I do not blame casual viewers at all for being turned off by that and being like, I'm just gonna watch football instead. Like, if football, like, I know I've heard that there have been issues in the past with refereeing and stuff, but I just, it's just not, I mean, just based on, based on my very, very, brief look at the NFL versus the NBA, it just doesn't seem as much of an issue where there's just these like constant, at the very end of the games, like it just takes forever. You know what I mean? And that's just how it's been for a long time with, with the free throws and all that, and the timeouts and the challenges and everything like that. Like, I understand those things have to sort of be in place for there to be, more of a correct call made. Essentially, these sorts of what would you call it? Kind of, quality checks, if you want to call it that. I mean, quality control, right? But at a certain point, it's like those things can affect just the value and the entertainment of the game as well. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is exactly. And I mean, I want to acknowledge it is incredibly difficult to, I can imagine it being incredibly difficult to make calls on the fly, and I totally understand that. But it's just too much. And I hope that there is more of, I hope there's just more done to kind of mitigate these. I mean, this situation was just an all-timer, right? It was one of the worst, like one of the worst, like, non-basketball related things that I've seen. It's just all just related to just the officiating, and just like, and stupid, like, I don't know. I mean, it was just, it's ridiculous. Like, this was an exception for how bad it's been, but it is also a reflection of the quality of refereeing the season. And I mean, it's bad stuff, man. It's real bad. So hopefully they get a hold of things before the playoff starts. Because if we see this type of officiating in the playoffs, where they're like, wait, let's go back. No, don't pull that shit. Don't do any of that. Don't touch the, like, unless like challenge is called or whatever. Don't do these reviews where you look at that screen. What are you looking for? What are you looking for when you're watching the screen for 10 minutes? Like, what are you, 10 minutes to review? Like, what are you talking about? Why does it take so long to review a play, review a foul? I don't get it. I don't get it. So yeah, I hope that they I hope they find some way to fix this issue somewhat. I know it's not going to be fully resolved just because reffing's been an issue forever. But at least to make it, like, just, I don't know, man. Just do better. Do better. That's it. Do better. That's my rant. Warriors won. Cool, I guess. I mean, it's. I mean, I'm happy they won. But, like, dude, it's just bad for everyone involved. It's bad for Warriors fans. It's bad for, Lakers fans. It's bad for the league in general. It's just no good. No bueno, man. Get that out of here. Anyways, that's my NBA spiel for today. There are some games. Warriors are playing the Knicks tonight. I'll see if I check that out if I have the time. And then, yeah, I guess that's it for my basketball piece. I'll do a catch up at the end of this week or this upcoming weekend. Want to talk a little bit more about Nkaidos. I haven't progressed so much since the last time, but I've made kind of some strides here and there. One thing I do kind of want to point out is this very much is like an old school game. There are definitely a lot of dated mechanics in it. And I think that the sort of the quality of life updates are pretty huge, kind of similar to Final Fantasy VII's, sort of like the, you know, the OG re-released version for like the Switch and like PC and stuff. Remastered. I don't know what you would call it. I don't want to say I don't want to say remake because that's not what this is. But you know, just the updated version for the original game, where you have these quality of life things where you're able to speed up the game, you're able to turn off random counters, you might be able to do like one hit deaths if you really only care about advancing the story, that sort of thing. All of these things that are tailored to suit whatever the player's, you know, gameplay style is. And I think that is it's like a huge thing that I've sort of taken advantage of for my playthrough of the first game. Because there's definitely a lot of backtracking that you have to do, so that can take a lot of time. And so what I've done is like turned off encounters and then sped up the game speed, and that sort of helped me, you know, it sort of eases the pain of having to go back to certain areas and try to collect items and stuff. But I still have had a little bit of frustration in terms of just like how, you know, certain, in order to meet certain storyline or quest objectives, you have to find these very just like, I don't know, like certain items are like located in really weird places. Like, you're like, why is that there? Wouldn't it make more sense if it was here? Like, for example, like there's this one item, it's, I forgot exactly what it was called, but It's like the celestial tree seed, and for some reason, within the game, there is like a the, there's a location called the Celestial Tree, and it is it's a whole dungeon basically, but for some reason, you can't find the seed at the tree itself. You have to go. To some, do you have to go to the queen's room because she has like a flowering pot that has the seeds, but it's located in like the castle town across the map. I mean, it's really not that far, basically, in terms of the, your walking distance, but it's still. Like, why wouldn't the seed be at the tree? Like, that's just that one is just silly to me. That one makes no sense to me. It's like, why wouldn't it be at the tree itself? Like, why would I need to go to a room of someone who has the seed when I can just get the seed from the tree? Like, it's I don't know. Anyways, that frustrated me a little bit. Some other things too. There's just. I mean, it's just kind of these outdated mechanics that really don't benefit the player at all. And so, you. I mean, at least I have felt the need to use the speed up and whatnot. And so that's fine. But I don't know. I think playing this at with like normally, if I just played it. Just the vanilla game. I think I would have been kind of frustrated with it. I mean, I probably would have felt the same way with, older games like Final Fantasy VII. And I loved my playthrough of that game, but it will be very difficult for me to revisit those games in their original format. You know what I mean? I mean, I've played. Older games. I played Chrono Trigger. I played, I played Final Fantasy VI. Like I have played, these games sort like in their semi-original, not on the original release, but in the original kind of format where there's not like these like quality of life things that you can use. So I mean, I've experienced that, but I just don't feel like I have the patience for that anymore. And I just don't really want to spend the time just grinding, just looking around for stuff. And I've also had to, Google to find where I needed to go and stuff like that. And I don't it's within the game itself. I've sort of had it. It's been a little difficult to try to like, use only the game's resources because it's like it doesn't necessarily tell me where things are. I mean that's just how it is. That's just what it comes down to with like games from 20 plus years ago, right? That's just how it goes. But I'm playing it, these remastered versions, and I mean I'm really grateful that these remastered versions exist because then I wouldn't have been able to experience these games, really at all unless I really wanted to hunt down the some like the eBay version of Baten Kaitos, which is probably like $100+, right, for a resale, for like a used copy. So yeah, I'm happy about that for sure, but it's just sort of I've praised the story and I've praised the characters, but I also wanted to provide a little bit of criticism because I think that's fair. One more thing that I kind of wanted to discuss before closing out for today. I watched, sort of continuing my continuing to kind of seek out, Oscar-nominated films. I watched Poor Things Saturday. Was it Saturday? And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a very colorful film. I liked the aesthetics of it. I liked sort of the very fantastical elements of the scenery. the background, the setting. It's a very just like hyper fantastic kind of vision of the world, you know? Yeah, I thought it was on that front, on like just like a presentational front, I thought it was very well done. The story is is wild. I'm sure that's sort of like the main focus of the discourse behind the film. Basically, it is sort of this kind of Frankenstein's monster story, but it's also a coming of age story, kind of mishmash together. And I think there's some, you know, the sort of like this kind of like abject horror to it, and sort of this, you know, absurdist kind of surreal sort of comedy behind that. I think a lot of people, not a lot, I don't want to generalize. I've definitely heard some comments from people that have discussed this film being pretty maybe disturbing to them, mainly because of the fact that the fact that the main character played by Emma Stone is essentially like a child kind of in an adult's body, right? Sort of like Think Big with Tom Hanks, but kind of more messed up basically, right? And way more sex is you know kind of this movie. So if you had qualms with Big, where you felt it was uncomfortable watching an adult woman have relations with a man child or a child in a man's body, then you're not gonna like this movie. You know what I mean? If you have moral and ethical kind of issues with that, which I do not, which I am not at all, like, you know, I'm not arguing against that at all. If that makes you uncomfortable, that makes you uncomfortable, and you don't want to watch the movie, and I'm like, I think that's totally fair. I was able to sort of, and this is not me. I'm trying not to be like, well, this is no. I totally get people being put off by this film. I totally understand that. I think at a certain level, it is difficult to sort of separate that fact. It's difficult to, you know, not think about that, right? And then you can make that argument, like, oh, she's sort of, you know, she's developing at a faster rate than blah 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 blah, whatever, if you want to make that argument. But, you know, as sort of the core idea of like her character being essentially a child that's having sex with older men, it's sort of it's weird, right? It's kind of it is maybe uncomfortable and creepy to that extent. I was not I was I wasn't like, you know, I of course I was like thinking about that. I was sort of able to, I don't know, not look past it, but I felt that the absurdism and just kind of the level of just like ridiculousness that this film was, I was able to maybe, I don't know, essentially, what's the term? I was just thinking of the term. Excuse me. I was just thinking of the term. Essentially, put aside my view of reality, right? And just kind of enjoy the ride is sort of what I felt. I don't think it was Yorgos Lanthimos's intent for this to be this kind of creepy, pedophilic sort of film about, like, you know, sexual relations, even though, you know, the sexual aspect does play a pretty large role in the film. but I don't think it was his intent to showcase that as this sort of thing, as I don't know, acceptable or whatever. You know what I mean? I think it is just much more used as a part of like the storytelling aspect, you know what I mean? The thing I was thinking of, I think what I meant to say was, I was able to sort of, oh my god, I just lost it again, distance myself from reality. What do you call that? Put away my, you know, it's on the tip of my tongue. What is it? It is separating. What would it be called? The lack of imagination. No, that's not what that is. You know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Anyways, the disillusionment, that's not what it is. The I was able to, you know, I was just able to kind of let that go and enjoy the spectacle of this movie. I treated this movie more as a spectacle as opposed to it being a, because I know, like, maybe people are able to derive a lot of things of just, like, you know, this the way in which women are viewed in society and everything like that. I'm sure there's some pieces that, you know, you can obtain from watching this movie and, you know, maybe come away with some, I don't know, some just, like, appreciation of the thematic elements from this movie. I mean, I got some of that, but I was more, I kind of treated this more of just like a fun, kind of ridiculous movie as opposed to that. And I know that I'm sure that, like, people who are very passionate about this movie are really, you know, you could really delve into just like the choices that were made by the director, the certain lines of dialogue and the importance of, you know, what the characters say and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, I can acknowledge that those aspects were present in this movie, but I personally just didn't feel, I just kind of enjoyed the movie. Like, it was just like a entertaining movie, which might be like, which might be the worst thing, like, I don't know, you could say, because it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to take away from it. It's just like, I feel that these sort of things have been done better in other films, in terms of just like, there's this kind of case where I've seen where it's like, oh, you thought Barbie was female empowerment. Well, this movie was kind of more so, more close, you know, more strongly a case of female empowerment. I'm like, I don't, I mean, I guess maybe, I don't know. Like, I could see it. I don't really feel it though. So, yeah, my main takeaway is that I enjoyed this film because I liked how colorful it was, and I liked Willem Dafoe burping a large gas bubble, and I thought that was funny. So that's my it's a fun movie if you can handle a lot of sex and are able to, you know, essentially take into account kind of the fantastical elements of it. I don't know. That's it. That's how I feel about this movie. It was fun. And maybe there was more to it. That's, you know, and if people found more meaning in it, that's great. I just had a fun time with it. So yeah, that's my little spiel. Not even a review. That's my little piece on Poor Things. Do I recommend it? I don't know. Read the synopsis. Maybe watch the trailer. Get a sense of how I feel about it. Hard for me to like. It's hard for me to like recommend this to a general audience. Definitely not a general audience. People that enjoy this kind of film, like artsy kind of movie, I mean, they would like this for sure. You know. Yeah. So that's that. Anyways, gonna record another half of this week's episode later this weekend. Probably talk more basketball, catch up on some stuff. If I have the time to watch another movie, I would like to talk about that as well. So, yeah, that's going to be it for today. Stay tuned. All right, it is March 22nd, 2024. Recording this on a Friday afternoon / evening of sorts. Weather is not the best. It is cloudy and overcast. Bit of a departure from the rest of this week. And then, unfortunately, this upcoming week, we're expecting to have a lot of rain, which I'm not, like I've mentioned many, many times throughout, I'm not a fan of. I'm not the biggest fan of. Because I can't go outside, you know? I mean, I could go outside, but do I want to get wet? No, not really. You know, keep me nice and dry. So yeah, not the biggest fan of that. So, but whatever. It's just the weather, man. And I guess I am the weather, man. What am I doing? I'm a little tired, admittedly. It's kind of funny, like thinking about. I feel back when I was younger, the idea that you shouldn't be spending your time watching television was a pretty, you know, kind of a notable thing, I guess. At least that was sort of the message that I got from my parents. And then now, literally all I do is look at a screen for all day long for work, you know? It's kind of funny how that flips. And I know it's not necessary. It's different because you're working or whatever, but you're kind of doing a similar thing in terms of doing the actual, like, looking at a screen, you know what I mean? So it's, I don't know, it's sort of funny. It's like, oh, you gotta do this, you gotta do your homework, when all my homework is on the screen now. So it's a little hard for me to avoid, unfortunately. Honestly, my fun now is going outside and all this, right? The exercise, that's my fun now. That's sort of my little to get away from things, right? So I don't know, I thought that was it's sort of funny to reflect on that this week. Like I talked about last time, I'm sort of been on a bit of a, you know, I've been sort of craving catching up on some movies that I haven't been able to, or rather I have not been motivated to watch movies. And now I'm sort of in that kind of spirit. I don't know exactly what, you know, kind of, inspired me to do that. Maybe it was just sort of the Oscar buzz, post-Oscar buzz, just, you know, hearing about these movies and just getting into it. I don't know, it's sort of like reawoken kind of my desire to watch more things, and it's been nice so far. I feel I've missed doing this. I do really love movies, but I just haven't, I don't know, I just haven't had the passion to watch anything. There was just like a very long stretch of time where it's like periodically maybe I'll go out to watch a movie in the theaters, but it was just like, it was a really just was a very dry, empty period of where I wasn't really catching up on anything because I don't know, I just wasn't in the headspace or in the just not interested, I guess. Maybe nothing necessarily caught my eye or whatever, but now I feel, I don't know, there's this sort of resurgence, I guess. I don't know, there's more of a want for me to watch a lot of things, and I'm realizing there's a ton out there, a ton of really good stuff that I've been meaning to watch. There's a few things, there's a couple of movies that I watched this week, both Nicolas Cage movies, which is really funny to think about, but I was just, it just kind of worked that way. The first movie that I watched a little earlier this week, the first Nick Cage starring, it's not, you know, it stars Nick Cage. So is it technically a Nick Cage movie if it stars Nick? You know what I mean? Anyway, the first movie that I watched starring Nick Cage was called Dream Scenario. This was something that I wanted to watch in theaters because conceptually it seemed really interesting. And I was like, that kind of draws my attention. This feels kind of like auteur, a little, you know, A24 kind of thing going on. Feels right up my alley. A little drama, a little weird kind of, you know, thriller, if you want to call it that. A little psychological kind of thing going on that feels very in my camp. And so I decided to check it out. Finally, I was sort of interested in doing that. And it was interesting. It was an interesting movie. I'm sort of glad that I didn't watch it in theaters. I don't know if this was necessarily a movie theater going worthwhile experience. I know it's just a jumble of adjectives there, but it felt much more of a movie that I would appreciate, and I guess more of just like an intimate setting with just by myself. I don't know if necessarily a movie theater would have enhanced the experience all that much, and it, you know, it's entirely possible that I would have had like a, if there was like a loud crowd or something, if the audience around me was not, you know, disciplined, I feel I might not have enjoyed this as much, because I just felt watching it just by myself felt more like comfortable, I guess, and it just made more sense than going to the theaters. It was an all right movie. I think the first half of the movie is pretty strong, and then it kind of dips out in the second half. The sort of mystery behind, well, I'll guess I'll give a brief synopsis. Nicolas Cage plays this professor guy named Paul. He's a very sort of just an incredibly ordinary guy. Just this very normal guy. There's nothing even really distinct about his personality. He's just a very kind of everyday guy. And for some reason, some kind of phenomenon occurs where he appears in a bunch of people's dreams. And that kind of mystery sort of lies in that. It's sort of like, why does he appear in the dreams? And, you know, what is sort of the significance, the symbolism of his existence within people's dreams and all that. And then it sort of, you know, becomes this sort of, he becomes kind of like this viral sensation sort of thing. And then the movie kind of goes from there. And you will see his character, Paul, deal with the fame. And then deal with sort of the, I'll say very lightly, the kind of the repercussions of being a public face. And also, you know, the image that he sort of not himself necessarily conjured up, but other people sort of conjured up about him, and how that sort of takes effect, you know. And it's an interesting kind of character piece. It's an interesting look at how people, society, or whatever, deal with certain personalities. I was reading some comments regarding how this is maybe a reflection of something like cancel culture or whatever, and it's like, okay, maybe it's a little, it's kind of half-baked, I think, if you think of it that way. I do like that the movie mentions, Jungian theory, Carl Jung, the psychologist, and the concept of the collective unconscious. I liked that. That was an interesting kind of thing that they sort of brought into the mix. And I very much felt that. I wish they explored more of that. I felt that it could have done a bit more to sort of, I don't know, just give a bit more to that idea and how people sort of collective ideas and stuff can be very transformative and potentially damaging, right? And I think they did showcase that in terms of how Paul dealt with people's kind of reactions towards him. We did see that a little bit, but I wish we got a bit more on that front. There's a lot of cool shots, there's a lot of cool sequences in this movie. I wish there was more of it. I felt like this movie wasn't weird enough, which is kind of, it's sort of a interesting, I don't know, maybe it's a bit of a weird thing to say because conceptually the movie is already kind of strange, but I wish they went further with it, you know what I mean? I think the moment that was kind of that, where it could have potentially been a bit more interesting, they were essentially doing this parody of, I mean, it's kind of old news at this point, the kind of parodies of TikTok personalities and TikTok. You remember, this is like 3 years ago at this point, but like TikTok houses and stuff. I mean, I never was on TikTok, but I just heard about those things through YouTube. So they were kind of making a parody of that, and how that it, there's this sort of, a kind of overt cynicism about how these people were trying to sell, certain things using technologies and potentially taking advantage of other people and that sort of thing. But it just was one, like, by the time, I don't know when this movie was filmed. It feels like this movie was filmed a little while back, because that sort of idea was already kind of old at this point, and it's kind of wild to say, but it already feels a bit dated in that sense, because it's making a reference to something that is so, it's such a small little pop, I don't know if you could, just kind of pop cultural moment in history. It's just kind of a blink, right? And I mean, that whole phenomenon happened for a little bit, and then it just kind of went away. I mean, that was a, it's been a while now since that happened. And that, I feel, unfortunately dates the movie a little bit, because it's trying to be so current, right? And so I felt that including that also maybe took away a little bit of the messaging of the movie and that sort of thing. Yeah, I just felt it started to kind of go, kind of in the second half, it started to go in a direction where I felt it was just, it was maybe leaning a bit too much on the idea of him being this kind of, this personality of sorts. I don't know. It was, I don't know. It just didn't feel as engaging, I guess. I don't know how to articulate it. I just wish there was, like, a bit more. I wish they could have explored, like, deeper, I don't know, deeper connotations with the ideas of, like, dreams and stuff. I just wanted this to be a weirder movie. And there are some fun kind of sequences in this movie. But it just felt a bit too far and in between. Because I like the progression of the film from kind of the first part going into maybe the second half of the movie a little bit, because it starts off very, very just normal and kind of like wholesome too, and then it sort of takes a bit of a darker turn. I wish they just kind of went just a bit deeper and just kind of threw in some more strange kind of freaky dream sequences and really made this kind of into more of a horror sort of thing. I don't know. It's personal preference, maybe. But yeah, I liked aspects of the movie. I thought Nick Cage's performance was really good. He was very convincing as his character Paul. He really sold it. Like, I, you know, when you look at him first, you're like, oh, I mean, Nick Cage and, you know, kind of makeup and stuff. But then you really buy into his acting and his character, and you really just kind of are, I don't know, you buy it, and you fully acknowledge that this is, you know, his this character that exists in this world, in the universe of this movie. So I thought that he did a great job. He was the best part of the movie by far. So yeah, overall, enjoyed the movie. I don't know if I would necessarily recommend. Maybe other people could take more away from it. But yeah, it was fine. It was a fine movie. The next Nicolas Cage movie I watched was called Pig. And I heard good things about this movie a couple years back. Again, didn't really have a chance to watch it. I just maybe didn't have that available to on streaming or whatever. It was awesome. I mean, awesome is like kind of a weird word to use. I thought this movie was great. It's very quiet. It leaves a lot of moments for just contemplation and just sort of reflecting on the things that are sort of shown and not shown in the movie. There's not a ton of dialogue. And the lines that are, you know, whenever the lines are spoken, it feels very, there's like a significance to what they're saying. Like every line feels very important to, you know, the character that is saying it and whoever they're saying it to. There's a lot to like take in. So that, like, it makes you really pay attention. Nick Cage in this was also very good. He plays a very different character. He essentially plays this sort of hermit who lives out in the woods up in the Pacific Northwest, up near Portland, outside of Portland. And he lives with a truffle pig who essentially they go around and they pick up truffles in the forest. Kind of this, you know, what would you call it? A hermit lifestyle, really, essentially by himself and his pig. The inciting incident is the pig gets kidnapped, and you are kind of led to believe that this movie, I mean, I guess it's more so implied, that this movie is going to be maybe some kind of revenge movie similar to John Wick, right? Like in John Wick, he goes on a, you know, revenge killing spree for the people that, you know, took out his dog. And so you sort of anticipate a similar thing because you've seen that movie before, so it could happen with this movie as well. And that's not really what happens. The movie is primarily driven by this goal, this kind of journey, for Nick Cage's character, Robin, to find his pig. But it becomes much more than that. And I think there's quite a lot to really appreciate and take away from this film. I think that it's the kind of the thematic elements to maybe take away from this movie is in regards to how to deal with grief, moving on from, you know, moving on from a loss and finding a way to continue to live. I feel there's some really heartfelt moments in this movie. There's a very, towards the end of the movie, there's a scene that really did a good job of tying together kind of the plot thread that was introduced earlier in the movie, and I thought it just did a really excellent job of kind of introducing it and sort of being kind of the solution, if you want to call it that, to the movie. And it felt very poignant. It felt very, it just, there was just a lot of emotion kind of evoked kind of in that moment. And it's like, there's the scene that occurs, essentially it's sort of at a dinner table, and the entire time there's essentially no lines of dialogue, and you watch the characters sit there and just kind of eat their food, and then it kind of, for me at least, it was then that kind of that realization. It's like, oh, it's that thing from earlier. And you kind of see how the characters react in that moment to kind of their own realization, if you want to call it that, of what's happening. And then, it's so good. It's so good. It's one of my favorite scenes. It's one of my favorite moments in a movie in a very long time. It just felt so satisfying. And this movie, by the way, it's also very sad too. I do want to warn people kind of going into it that it is pretty, I don't know, it is pretty somber, but I feel that if you want something where you can reflect and think about your past, the things that you're dealing with currently, the relationships that you have with people, and kind of the things that you find meaning in, I feel there's a lot to really dig into with this movie. It is much more than about a pig. Like, it is about the pig, but it's also not about the pig too. You know, the pig is the vehicle for the narrative. It just felt, there's like a few moments in the movie where I felt maybe it didn't feel super in place, but I don't know. I feel the strengths of this movie really elevate it to a certain level. I thought it was excellent. I thought the writing was really good. Like I mentioned, it's just the the key pieces of dialogue are what really matter. It's really like sometimes like what's spoken is important, but also what's not spoken is also very important as well. It's good stuff. It is really good. So yeah, highly recommend this movie. If you have sort of the appetite for this kind of slow burn, contemplative film. The rest of this week, I mean, it's Friday for this weekend, I suppose. I do want to catch up on some other movies, maybe. I do have some ideas of what I want to watch. I don't necessarily know if I'm going to go through with it and watch that, but I do, you know, there are some things that I have that I want to check out. Yeah. But, I don't have a ton of NBA updates. I haven't really watched basketball this week. So maybe next week I'll talk more ball. And maybe I'll progress through Button Kaitos this weekend. Who knows, man? The possibilities are endless. So yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening. This has been Save the Semantics, signing off.